Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Legacy Leaders Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the month again. It's time of the week when we start having our great Legacy Leader Radio show. This is Jack Perry, and I have an awesome show today. I've got somebody who I admire and that I've known for about 5 years now that has been very important and very significant in my life. And I have the wonderful Tracy Cleary from Connection Point Coaching. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Jack.
Also in the studio today, ladies and gentlemen, we have behind the keys today, we have wonderful Kevin. Kevin, say hello to the gang.
Hello.
Okay. And we are also shooting this video, this show actually live on video, and also and behind the cameras today, we've got Brother Jonathan. Jonathan, just give us a wave there. I know you're busy. Okay. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Ladies and gentlemen, the theme of my show, those of my regular listeners know, that this is about people who make a difference in our community, people who make a difference in our lives, and that the name of the show is Legacy Leader Radio. Somebody that's important to me that's definitely been a leader and who's definitely developing a legacy in her own personal and professional world is Tracy. Now, I'm going to give you a little background of myself and how I found Tracy and how Tracy and I came in contact with each other about 5 years ago. I went through a little bit of a transformation myself after I left the military and decided there were some things I needed to do with my life. And I didn't want to go through the typical conventional means of talking to psychiatrists, psychologists, or coaching, counseling, or anything else. And I decided that I was going to call a telephone number that was given to me by a mutual friend. And so I decided after about a year or so to give this number a call, and my life has not been the same since. It has been very uplifting. I've had a lot of great things happen in my life, and a lot of wonderful things, and I attribute a lot of that to the person who I have in the studio today, which is Tracy. So Tracy, once again, welcome to Legacy Leader Radio.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Tracy, tell us about Connection Point Coaching.
I started Connection Point Coaching back in 2001 after I left the corporate world myself.
Okay.
And really, with my background being in counseling and in coaching, the main goal was that I just wanted the freedom to work for myself, to be able to make my own schedule.
We all want that.
But also really to help people be able to find what it is they want to do with their life and mm-hmm. believe that they can achieve it. I think that's been one of my goals in my life, is to be able to create that type of freedom and okay. lifestyle that I wanted. And so helping people to believe that that is a possibility and learning how to overcome those obstacles or those stuck patterns of thought that can often inhibit us has been one of my primary goals in starting that Connection Point.
And how long have you been doing Connection Point?
Well, like I said, it was about 2001, 2002, right in there that I started the company. So that's what, 12 years, 11 years, somewhere in there.
Well, for our listeners out there, we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive. Mm-hmm. For our listeners out there, we've heard what people talk about, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, but there's been a new trend in our society with using coaching, qualified mm-hmm. coaches. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the difference between the coaching between psychologists, psychiatrists, therapies, okay. and your coaching.
Well, my background actually is I am a mental health counselor.
Okay.
So I actually have my graduate degrees in counseling. But when I left the counseling field, I went into the corporate world and did more of organizational psychology. And that really led me down the path of doing more of the coaching, which then I later went and got mm-hmm. certification in. So the primary difference, I mean, if you're looking at a psychiatrist, that's actually an MD, a person who is a doctor but works primarily with dysfunctions or issues of the brain. Psychologists also are very similar to a counselor or social worker, people of that mm-hmm. nature. They're definitely going to spend time talking to people, and they can also diagnose. So if somebody goes in there and they need a diagnosis for insurance purposes or whatever they're looking mm-hmm. for, yeah. They can do that. Coaching, on the other hand, although it shares some of the modalities of counseling and psychology, it does not go into diagnosis. And it's the primary difference, I would say, is not that this is not true in the counseling fields as well, is that they're really focused on you know, what is it you want to achieve? Like, where, mm-hmm. where are we headed? They're not going to spend as much time typically in a coaching. It's not that they won't look at your background and mm-hmm. look at some of your history, but that's not going to be maybe the primary focus. The focus is going to be a little bit more forward into, you know, where am I stuck and what are the steps I want to take to move forward to achieve those goals.
Would it be, if you don't mind me saying, it's like where I am now and how I'm going to move
yes.
forward in my life.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't use our past history as a leverage to stop us from moving forward, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's not that we wouldn't yeah. talk about the past or acknowledge it, but we're definitely going to say, okay, that's happened. Now let's look at how we move forward from here and what are the tools we have in front of us today and yeah. the abilities we have today to take action to achieve these goals.
Would you mind if I said that coaching is like healthy people helping healthy people?
I think that's a good
assessment. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay, good.
It's a good assessment.
I like to think that I'm on the right track.
Yes.
Considering Tracy and I at work together, I go, oh, good. There is hope for me, ladies and gentlemen. There is hope. And so tell us about some of your style and techniques with your coaching.
Well, the big thing that is unique to what I do in my coaching is that I use I use applied kinesiology, which is another term people may have heard of as muscle testing, and it's
okay.
a way of accessing the body system to find out what kind of emotional mm-hmm. triggers might be, you know, kind of inhibiting people to take action. And so it really comes out of the field of chiropractic and acupuncture.
Okay,
and over the years they've started using it in some people in counseling or coaching, but in that forum, it's usually referred to as behavioral kinesiology because we're looking at it as how do we, how is this impacting people's behaviors, these belief
okay.
systems that may be at the non-conscious level.
Okay. So if I can take it down this path, it's awareness of a behavior that may be holding you back from moving forward in your life. Okay. Am I on track there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you and I would say the qualifier there is that you may be consciously aware of that behavior that's
okay.
holding you back. And you may have taken a lot of or engaged in a lot of attempts and a lot of things to try to help you overcome that behavior, but yet you still find yourself slipping back into that old behavior pattern. So
I hate it when that happens.
I do
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So yeah. the big thing that the kinesiology does is it allows us to, you know, talk to the body basically, because the body's what I call kind of the storehouse of the subconscious there, and
okay.
find out why is it still holding on to this pattern? There's something going on here that is still serving us. And so then when we can go locate that, we basically, in our language, say we're going to neutralize that belief system. It's not that, you know, it's not there, but the body can realize, oh, I have other choices here. I don't
okay.
have to keep slipping down the same path.
Okay. And I've heard you and talk to me, and I've heard you talk to other people about energy.
Mm-hmm.
Our body is energy.
Yes.
For our listeners out there, tell us a little about the body and the body's energy.
Well, you know, the way I describe it to people when they first come in and I'm doing some of them muscle testing with them so they can experience this is, you know, to think of their body like a battery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a battery has a circuit that needs to be complete.
Sure.
And if that circuit gets interrupted, then the battery is weakened or doesn't work at all. And
mm-hmm.
so your body is similar, that emotions kind of can be those circuit breakers. You know, they can trip the system sometimes.
Emotions such as, God, give me one.
Grief, hopelessness, anger, depression,
mm-hmm.
Frustration, jealousy, you know, any
mm-hmm.
of those intense emotions can at times interrupt the system. And then we don't function as well, and so that's what we look at.
So if I'm on a track, if I'm on a mission, if I'm doing something that's purposeful and meaningful in my life, and all of a sudden I have a, let's say, like a hiccup or a trigger, or let's say an emotion that gets in the way of that, would that be a block for my energy?
Yes, it could indicate
okay.
it could indicate that there is a block to that, and we would go explore that and see if that's in fact the case.
All right, and so when I talk about energy, and let me just get it in simple terms for myself. So if I walk into a room and there's 20 people in the room, and I'm that grumpy, mean guy, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I would believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that my energy would exude that of being a grumpy, griefy, moody
absolutely
ticked off kind
of
guy.
I think we would
right?
know that.
Yeah. And then when you walk into a room, if you got a room full of happy people and everybody's getting along, you're bringing in that one person with that bad energy.
Right.
Okay, tell me, would I be able to sense that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I hope so.
Hell yes, I would be able to sense that. So, and so that would be like an emotional block, not only for that person.
Right.
But also maybe for some of the people that maybe in the room.
That are in the room. And okay. I mean, if you think about it, that's a great example, because think about it. If we've all had those moments where we're that angry or that frustrated, and just think about how depleting it is. It takes a lot of energy mm-hmm. to be that angry and yeah. frustrated. And when you get past it, you know, you kind of feel wiped out. Also, if you're on the receiving end of that, mm-hmm. if you're having to work with or be around somebody who's carrying that kind of energy, it can be very draining, because you may be always trying to figure out how to keep them calmer or deflect yeah. or, you know, get away
yeah.
from. And so it's very, yeah. very draining.
Yeah. It's like everybody else is changing themselves to suit the other person that's draining everybody else.
Correct. Yeah, often, yeah. you know, a way I describe that is that a lot of us are walking around afraid of other people's emotions. We mm-hmm. we encounter these types of emotions on other people, and then we begin to shut down and pull back, because we really don't feel safe to know how to handle sometimes
okay.
These emotions. So if you have a colleague or a business partner or a spouse or anyone for that matter, a friend, and you know, then we'll tiptoe around it, because we're not wanting to tip the apple cart.
Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
what ends up building behind that is a lot of resentment. And then your relationship, whether that be business or personal, starts to become compromised, because you don't feel like you can be authentic and relaxed, because you're having to monitor yourself and how you might respond, because yeah. you're afraid of how this person might behave otherwise.
You're on pins and needles because you're worried about how the other person is going to react. But,
right.
but the other person, you own your own emotions,
correct.
Your own behavior.
Right.
Okay. So I come to you
mm-hmm.
and I've got a block. Okay. I'm a healthy person that needs healthy advice and insight, and I want to move forward in my life, and there's something blocking me. I want to achieve, I want to qualify or succeed in a new job,
mm-hmm.
and somehow an old relationship or an old behavior is stopping me from recognizing that where I'm at now is not going to... Something may have stopped me from being successful in the job I'm in now, because I'm relating something in my past to where I'm at now. How would you work with me on that?
Okay. What I'm going to do is back up a little bit and use that with the prior example that
okay.
we were just taking. So let's kind
okay.
of stick with that idea that if you had, let's say you are working
mm-hmm.
and you have a boss that is a little more on that angry side
yeah.
and
yeah.
you really want to do well in your job
mm-hmm.
but you find yourself being inhibited in your performance because you're worried about upsetting this boss or not knowing quite what's going to get approval
yeah.
or what's going to earn disapproval. So
yeah.
so your performance is going to be inhibited now because you don't feel safe. You don't feel like you can relax and be yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So where I would go with that with somebody is I would say, all right, we've got to work with the idea of creating what I call congruency. We've got to be okay no matter how this person chooses to behave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about learning to trust yourself. So what I would do is go in and with a statement where I'm doing the muscle testing, and I might say, okay, I'm okay performing my job if my boss is happy with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay performing my job if my boss is unhappy with me.
What happens?
Okay, they will go weak typically when I muscle test on the part where the boss is unhappy with them, because there's some hidden belief system. There's conscious to a level, but there's some belief system writing out that when I sense disapproval,
mm-hmm.
or I believe, even if there isn't any, if I believe there's some level of disapproval, my brain can now not focus top priority on performing what my job is, because I'm so worried and distracted or anxious
mm.
about what's
yeah.
going on over here in this other person's thoughts
yeah.
about me. So what I do is we go back and we go, okay, where did we first learn that you had to be afraid of or worried about other people's approval or disapproval for you to be able to perform your job well?
Sure, sure.
And we go locate that instance, and then we would neutralize it. And you're familiar with that because we have done some of that. So what happens typically after I go through a process like that with somebody is that they will go back into that experience, and I'll say, you know, let's see how it feels this time through. Did you
yeah.
have a different experience? And generally, the report is that it's different. You know, my boss just, it doesn't bother me the same way. I'm able to stay focused. I'm able to be aware that maybe they're in a bad mood. It doesn't necessarily mean it's about me. Even if it is, I'm okay, you know, addressing it and staying focused and performing my job to the best of my ability.
Let's talk a little bit about anger. Do you deal with angry client? Angry clients?
I would say yes. Okay. Yes.
How do you get them past their anger? Okay, let's say it's an anger about with a spouse. How do you get past that? How do we work with that?
Well, you know, anger is an interesting thing because sometimes people are very aware that they're angry, and sometimes they're not. They don't really see themselves as angry, although I would say there's a lot of passive aggressive, sometimes that's what I listen to them, passive aggressive behaviors going on there.
I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. No, I really do hate you. No, I really do love you.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. Okay. So, you know, first thing I'm going to assess is does this person have anger issues they're aware of, or are they in a place that they really don't see themselves as angry, although they're showing up very angry? Mm-hmm. And so I actually had that instance happen many years ago. I was doing some coaching for a company, and there was an employee that was very explosive and just would overreact and tend to really get the whole team upset. And when you would talk to this person, the first time I ever talked to them, it was funny. I said, so, you know, we've got some feedback here from your colleagues that we have some anger going on.
They're wrong.
Yeah, no, well, that was no, it was better
wrong,
than that.
whatever they said to you, they're wrong.
Well, she started yelling at me. She's like, that just makes me mad. Everybody says I'm angry. I'm not angry. And she's yelling. And I said, well, you know, most happy people I know don't yell. So I think we got a little emotion behind that. So do you want to go find out what that's about? Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, yeah, because I don't know why people keep saying that to me. And I said, I sincerely believe you do not perceive yourself as an angry person.
Yeah.
But what you are not aware of is that the outward behaviors of your tone, of how you're shuffling papers around the office or throwing this here or there is creating you know, some resistance to you. And then that makes you feel even more isolated and more unaccepted in this team, which creates even more frustration, which feeds the anger. So helping them to see the cycle and then going into, you know, I think a lot of times when I can do the muscle testing and people can start to go through the process, it gives them the possibility of looking at themselves more objectively because they begin to understand where it came from. And there's not so much self-judgment and they can kind of step back and look at it.
I think part of the listening from my experience working with you, Tracy, and what I personally have gone through and some of the people I've worked with, that one of the toughest questions you can ask that person is, who are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Tough question for a lot of people.
It's a very tough question. And who are you? And I find a lot of people will answer with a role, or they'll answer with a title,
or a car.
I
got a Ferrari.
Exactly.
And I play PlayStation.
Yeah. And you just look at him. You go, no, I want to know who you really are.
Right.
And that could be. I know for me personally, that was a aha moment because. Nobody's ever asked me that before until we started working together, and we will define ourselves by other ways and other means until we ask ourselves that question, and we find out that it opens up a whole new field, a whole new gamut of opportunities.
Right.
How has that been working with, you know, when you do the I ams? You know, who am I?
It works. It's amazing. I mean, I think it's a scary question for people. Mm-hmm. I've had one person years ago go, you know, I don't want to do this. And they just stopped right there.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to explore these questions. I think I'm done. I said, okay. You know, because it's a choice. You have to be wanting to do it or not. They are uncomfortable questions for people. But if you can create a safe space where they can be willing to explore it. And then I also say to people, you know what? It's okay not to know right now. I mean, if you really haven't been asked that question and you need a little bit of time, but this is what I want you to go home and think about it. Because if I take you as an example, you were really on this, you had known who you were to at that point in your life to a place.
Yeah.
And then you had a place where some major transitions were going on and you were really seeking this, who am I? And and to add to that, I'm going to say this because I have a number of these types of people coming to me, people in that later part of life thinking, I should know by now.
There's
a lot of that guilt, like at this age, I should know, I'm supposed to be in the golden years or retiring. I'm still trying to figure out who I am and maybe what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so there's some guilt in even exploring that sometimes at that point, because they put a lot of self-judgment. But I mean, if we look at you, you were able to, you know, explore. We sent you out to volunteer. We took pictures. We did all kinds of things.
And there's very few people in my life I would ever get mad or upset with, but there were times when I would get mad and upset with Tracy. You're not supposed to be asking me those questions. Well, Jack, yes, I am. You're hiring me to ask you these questions. So I did.
And he passed, and it works.
It does. And you got to be able to do the rough work. And
right.
and Tracy and I were able to do that.
And also, I just want to acknowledge you in that process, because this is true for anybody. Doing that work takes a lot of courage. Because those are scary questions to explore, and you have to be willing to go look at yourself and maybe own parts of yourself that you have wanted to maybe keep hidden and look at and forgive. And then, you know, but you make the choice to move forward, and you're an excellent example of that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And all you listeners, you hear that? Okay, listen. Okay. I want to know about some of your people who have – You've met resistance. You and I talked about this before. Eastern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on my own track with saying that?
Yes, that would come out of the, acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've had some of the stories you've shared with me. You've had resistance, but I also believe you've had people come back and go, okay, what was that stuff you just did to me? Because it's starting to work. What's going on?
Right.
Tell me about that.
Okay. So the work that I do is based in what is a term that we often hear, meridian-based therapies, or some people refer to it today as like energy psychology approaches. But you're basically working through the meridians of the body to access maybe some of these subconscious blocks.
And what does that look like?
And so that's where the muscle testing comes in, because I'm going to hit pulse points on the wrist to identify, you know, where is this thought kind of blocking up? What meridian? Is it on the liver, the stomach, the spleen?
Which is very similar to acupuncture.
Yeah, it comes from acupuncture.
Yes.
Yeah. So all of this kind of coincides there. Mm-hmm. I'm not an acupuncturist personally, but I use the charts and everything. So from there, then I would, you know, most of the time, if somebody's calling me up, I always first start by explaining, you know, what I do is a little different. I'm not just sitting there talking to you. I integrate more of a mind-body approach to identify where these subconscious blocks are. So if you're not familiar with Eastern medicine or acupuncture, this may look a little different or strange to you.
Sure.
Do you still want to do it? And, you know, I definitely have people come in. I say, let's do a session. Let's see what you think. Most of the time, people are very curious. They find it fascinating. They don't understand it sometimes, and they ask questions, but they often come back and go, I don't really understand this, but
it
worked.
Better.
I feel better, right.
Yeah, I admit, I was one of those. And so, not to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
Still, as I started reading books, I said, okay, who is she? What is she doing? And so, I get on her website, on Tracy's website, and I said, okay, kinesiology, okay, Western medicine, Eastern medicine. I go, this is some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
So why the hell aren't we doing this more?
Well, it's starting to get out there more. I mean, there's definitely, you know, always when there's an institution of how things are done, it's hard to break in new methodologies, because
don't you dare change my mind.
exactly.
What's
this woo-woo stuff you're talking about?
I'm comfortable leaving my life of mediocrity. Don't change who I am.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so there's certainly elements of that, but there's really great organizations out there that are beginning to integrate and get this word out there about this. You're actually seeing some of the conferences I attend. The really interesting and great thing is that you're seeing more medical doctors becoming open to this and interested in coming and learning and studying these integrative approaches and being more open to these energy modalities, because they're seeing some shifts that are, you know, they can't explain. And they're like, okay, the stuff that I've been doing didn't didn't work, but all of a sudden this person's getting better, and they said they were working with somebody who does these
techniques. Oh, I can take a pill. Yeah. I can take a pill.
Well, the things they don't realize about this, it's not or, it's and. So right. they can still do their stuff.
Right.
They can still have their medical stuff and do right. it, and they can do this on top of it. So it's right. not hurting anything.
Absolutely. I definitely think, you know, keep an integrated approach, because both aspects, Western and Eastern, have definite positives. And I tell everybody, too, you got to trust yourself, and you got to do ultimately what feels right inside of
sure.
your body, and you really need to check in and see what's working for you and what's not, and honor that. I don't think there's a one right way.
Where do you find your biggest resistance? Is there any group of people, demographic, or anybody that you find your biggest resistance from?
Well, you know, I don't know that I find resistance, like people not wanting to do it, but if I would say that the biggest resistance, like when they're in the office, is going to be the big, strong men like you.
Yeah.
Because when I push the arm down, they're
been
going
there.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, it's I push the arm down because I've hit the trigger point, and the muscle weakens momentarily. And I had one person recently go, "That just ticks me off. I don't understand that, you know." And I can explain all the science behind it, but it's still, he's like, "I just don't understand that. It just makes me mad." But he was still interested and wanted to do the work, and you know, very open to trying it.
What I found was so interesting, and which I didn't know for years, is the connection between your body's reaction and your mental stimulus. Am I on track here?
Mm-hmm.
And how you can react to something based upon your thoughts and beliefs.
Right.
Am I on track?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me how powerful our thoughts are on our successes and what we're doing. Tell me about the thoughts.
Well, thoughts, I mean, there's so many great books out there today on the power of thought.
Yeah.
And we know that thought carries enough thought, a repeated thought forms a belief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you've repeated, let's just play this on the positive side. Let's say you were born into a family where, you know, you were encouraged and told you're going to be successful in whatever you do, and you receive love and support. And so this becomes a part of your belief system of who you are.
Okay.
This becomes an integrated belief that I am successful, that even if I face challenges, I have what it takes to figure out the answers and overcome them and be successful, okay? If you haven't had that, if on the other side of that you've had thoughts or experiences along the way, and this is very simplistic, I'm making it here, but you know, if you haven't had the support, if you've, let's say you got bad grades in school and you didn't have a parent or somebody to say, hey, let's figure out how to turn this
mm-hmm.
around, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so then you begin to start to believe, well, I'm not smart, I'm not ever able to be successful, I'm never going to figure out the answer, I can't do it. And so you move on through life, and you start, it's in the background, it just becomes a part of who you are. It doesn't mean you can't be successful or you're not successful in certain areas, but when you decide you maybe want to move into that next area, this background belief that really I'm not that good, or I'm really not that successful, or I'm only so smart, can really show up and begin to inhibit us and rob us of, we have all these dreams and these goals, and really keep us from taking that next step forward, because there's that belief that I'm only this smart, or I'm only really this talented.
How important, just based upon what you just said, that hits a trigger with me, it hits a trigger, I'm sure, lots of people listening, is the impact that a parent would have on the thoughts and beliefs of a child growing up.
You know what? That's a fantastic question, and I don't think that I can even give it a word. I think it's vital. I mean, I was a school teacher for 5 years. I spent 5 years working in a low-income area.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the children that I taught came from very broken homes with lots of drug and alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just what they faced in their mourning before they came into my classroom, I couldn't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there
mm-hmm.
were just things they saw and were exposed to that were unheard of, you know. And so you compare that. I mean, they were surviving, they're showing up, they're getting into my classroom, but compare that to a child who wakes up in a warm bed every morning with parents that feed them breakfast and tell them they love them and send them all to school. I mean, the impact can't, in my book, really be measured. Now, do successful people come out of broken homes? Absolutely. They figure it out, and they can do it. But it's a very different experience.
And so when you have a child that has been told you're not good enough, you can't do this, you won't do that, those people are only people allowed to do that. I had a young lady, I had a client actually about 4 months ago that was on the East Coast, and I was giving a presentation. And after the presentation, when I was done, she came up to me and she had tears in her eyes, and she was visibly upset. And I said, "Tell me what's going on." She said, "I want to be a doctor." Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. "Okay, well, what's stopping you from being a doctor?" She said, "Because my mom and dad tell me that I'm not smart enough to be a doctor, and other people right. do those things." And I said, "Honey, never ever let somebody else tell you you're less than what God meant you to be on the face of this earth." And I said, "We got to work on you to get past that." And so, the impact that a parent or a instant or a caretaker, mentor mm-hmm. would have on such an impact on a child is so important. So huge. when you come to people, when people come to you and they want to move forward in their life, and there's been a block, and it's may say it does come from childhood, yes. the childhood mm-hmm. belief. How would you approach something like that?
Well, if we take let's just take the concept of this woman. Okay? So if I were to see somebody like her,
sure.
I would, you know, have her make a statement. And then again, I'm going to muscle test to see if she stays yeah. strong, meaning she's okay with that belief, or if she weakens, that means she's not okay with that belief. So I would have her say something like, "I am smart enough to be a doctor." Now, we know that that's not going to be true. Okay, mm-hmm, that she's mm-hmm. probably going to weaken based on just what she told you.
Because she may have convinced herself.
She's convinced herself mm-hmm, of that. Mm-hmm. So what I would do then is I go through my modality to identify, you know, at what age did she first start to hear and learn
okay.
that she wasn't smart enough to achieve these type of things. And then I'm going to work from that point to neutralize it. But I'm also going to begin to educate her on how she needs to reprogram her brain and how the
Important.
Brain takes in information. Because, yep. you know, one of the things I like to make clear to people is that, look, the work we do in here is, it will help, it will shift, but really where it rubber hits the road is when you walk out of this office. Mm-hmm. Because as much as I teach you and you learn, you still have to go out and apply it, but you need some ways to think to challenge old patterns and beliefs so that you can recognize when you're starting to fall back down that path of, you know, victimizing yourself with your thoughts.
Yeah.
And how do we get back on that track of empowering ourselves with our thoughts, even if we're not feeling like it, but we're still going to run this new script
yeah.
to get that brain to start playing a different song, you know, to really change its tune.
Have people come back to you and said, "Tracy, thank you"?
Yes, yeah. they do. Yeah.
Testify. Testify.
My favorite was one guy that came in and said, "I don't get all the quantum physics and stuff that you're doing, but I'm different." And he's like, "It's amazing. I mean, I don't have to work that hard anymore at the issue I was facing, and I just feel better, and life is easier." And so, I mean, that's the best news I can get, because, you know, that's what we're looking for.
What makes you so good at what you do?
I think because my primary focus when I'm sitting there is my goal is I want to help that person achieve what they want to achieve. You know, I want to really understand what is blocking them. So I just try to stay very, very present with what we're dealing with mm-hmm. in that time and space, and really listen to what is going on for them and what is holding them up, or what, you know, what can we possibly do in this moment that is going to give them perspective or insight or allow them to shift so that they can take that and apply it in their life and get results. I think it's just the power yeah. of being present.
Yeah,
you know?
And I was going to ask you about that. How important is that to be present? I know, I don't know about the rest of you guys in the studio here, but my mind will have a tendency to want to loop, and I'll mm-hmm. want to look 10 miles down the road when really I need to be sitting.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. And
right.
so, and then I've had clients, and I've also worked with people that they live so far in the past that it makes it difficult yeah. for them to move forward mm-hmm. in the future. Give me tools.
About being present?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it takes training. I think you have to mm-hmm. begin, I mean, to me, exactly what you said, anybody's mind, you know, let's take it in my position. If you're a coach or a therapist and you're thinking, how am I going to help this person? How am I going to help this person? Yeah. You're definitely not in the moment anymore. Okay. You're now worried about how am I going to make a difference? So you're really not hearing what is being said. And I think anybody who's in this profession has probably had those moments. So you have to recognize that, okay, where my mind is trying to take me right now serves no value. And you, so you have to become conscious of that and pull yourself back and say, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm going to offer or do in this moment yet. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be still, and I'm going to be present, and I'm going to see what begins to float up for me. And so that's what I think. It takes some training to learn how to do that, because I think anybody, what any profession, you want to do well, and so you're worried about, you know, what do I need to do well? But when you're now focused in the future, right? So come back and work in the moment and really be aware of what is this person looking for right now and what is the best thing I can offer them in this moment to support that process. And I think that's where you become, and to me, anybody, it doesn't matter what field they are in. Mm-hmm. If they're working in that present moment, they're going to be skilled at their job.
Do you work with leadership?
Yes.
Tell me about that experience with leadership.
You know,
what are their biggest challenges and how do you get past that? Tell me some. I'm curious about that because that's my area of expertise.
Well, one of the interesting things that the listeners might find interesting is I've worked with a number of very successful CEOs or CFOs, and a lot of people would assume that because they've achieved the level that they've achieved, the place in life that they are, that they don't really suffer with any insecurities or doubts or questioning of themselves, and that's just not true.
I don't have any insecurities. just ask me. I'll tell you. I don't have any.
You know
whatsoever.
It all. No, we don't have any problems, right?
Why are you following me? Quit following me.
So I think, you know, they're just like anybody else. They're not. They're subject to the same struggles and challenges and insecurities as anybody else. But I think one of their challenges is that they know people expect them to be a certain way, so that sometimes they're caught in trying to maintain this image and this presence of what they think people expect of that level of leadership, and they're not really sure of themselves sometimes, and they don't really feel like they have anybody they can talk to, because, you know, if I were to talk to the people around me, well, then I'm going to give myself away on some degree, because these are all my, you know, they work for me. So I think sometimes just having that place where they can touch base and just be real about what are the challenges that I'm facing, and did I process this situation to the best of my ability? Is there something else I could have done here that might have led me down a path that I feel would have been more successful? So just exploring those options.
What about fear of showing up different? Okay, so I have an issue and concern in my life, and I say, you know, I'm going to pick up this phone, I'm going to call this number, and I get a hold of Tracy. And then Tracy, I work with Tracy for 2 or 3 months, and I get some really cool tools on how to improve my life. Have you experienced people who have had fears of showing up different? How am I going to show up different? I know that something's happening with me, but when I go talk to my wife or talk to my peers, I'm going to show up different. So what?
Well, you know, it's not so much that I see them. I mean, maybe they express it differently. It's not so much that they're worried they're going to show up different. It's that, will this change my image so people won't see me as deserving of this role anymore? You know, will they still see me as smart enough or good enough to be in this role?
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, one of the things, because you brought this up that's interesting, is that when somebody shifts, what happens, you know, when they've shifted an aspect of their life, other people show up differently in their life. So they perceive it as other people have changed versus themselves. You know, and my favorite...
I didn't think about it.
Favorite example of that is when I first started my business many years ago, I got hired to... this gentleman hired me to coach his team, his sales team. And these people were in marketing. They were all over the country. And I was doing phone coaching with them. And the interesting thing was, is they all were a little afraid of their boss. you know, they were a little intimidated by him. And so, you know, I was coaching them on sales, but also communication skills and some things they could do maybe with their boss. But after about a 2 month window, on one particular day, I had three or four calls lined up, and they all opened with the same statement, which is, wow, you know, you're doing a great job coaching our boss. He's so much nicer. And I said, well, you know, I don't coach your boss. And they were like, yeah, you do. And I said, no, I don't. He didn't hire me to coach him. He hired me to coach his team. I said, the only day I've ever talked to him was the day that he hired me.
Yeah.
I said, so I know you think he shifted, but in reality, you're just showing up different. And so he appears different. So they had learned some skills and techniques and tools, and so they were showing up different, but therefore they perceived him as different. That's really fascinating.
That's a great story. Yeah. That's a great story. Tell me about meditation. I want to know how important meditation is and what you do.
You know, personally, I do meditation. I think it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. I know some people, that may not be their thing. So the main thing I talk about with meditation is you've got to find some space, whether you want to call it meditation or just relaxation or just taking a walk and getting out on your own, that you get still with your own thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you really get honest with yourself about how am I showing up? What do I want?
Yeah.
You know, if what's happening in my life is not resonating with me, what do I want to do to change that? Do I want to change that? What's stopping me from changing that?
Okay.
You know, and giving you that opportunity to kind of check in and explore. I think meditation is very powerful in that it can really help calm the system down and allow you to look at these things with less reactivity from the system. But I know some people struggle with it. And so there's all different modalities of meditation out there that, you know, people can try.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm very transparent about that. I do have trouble with the meditation because my mind will, it takes practice because my mind will start to wander and go off to the other thing. Oh, look, something shiny.
Then
I got to get myself back to where I want to be.
And you can learn. I mean, it's like, to me, the way I equate it for people is it's like learning a sport. You know, if you're going to go out and let's say you're going to play golf, I mean, you're going to, you know, not hit the ball a whole bunch of times before you really start hitting the ball. And meditation is similar. You are going to drift off. Your mind's going to run away. And then with practice, though, you can learn to discipline it. And I would say that's the biggest thing about meditation to me is it really does begin to teach you that you have this ability to discipline your thought.
Yeah.
But then that goes into a lot of what I teach people in classes. Even if you don't meditate, here's how I want you to start to understand how your brain operates and works and how you need to be the programmer of it and be just more conscientious of it, of how you're programming it. So it's not just kind of done without your awareness involved.
One of the things that I've learned over the years, and I think it's one of my aha moments with you, was I don't have to believe every stupid thought that comes into my mind.
Amen.
You don't have to believe everything you think, huh? You don't have to believe everything you think. And I went, you're right. I don't. So where did I get that thought from? And I find out 9 times out of 10 it's very invalid until you find out what the facts are, what the truth is about it.
Right.
I noticed on your website that you work with athletes.
Sometimes, yes, I do.
Yeah. Tell me how that works. How do you help our athletes out there?
A lot of times when I've worked with athletes, the primary thing is performance anxieties. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they've had them. Sometimes they develop out of the blue. They won't have had them, and all of a sudden they've just started developing them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they'll start to psych themselves out. And you know, instead of seeing themselves being able to be successful at whatever they've been successful, maybe all of a sudden they start having these fears or these thoughts of messing up and what if. And so, again, I would go back into we've got to be okay whether we mess up or whether we don't. Yeah. We've got to create that balance in the system.
Hosting a radio show.
Yeah, we've got to balance it out. Yeah. So basically, I'm, you know, the way I describe it to him, I said, look, we've got to help your system understand that even if you go out there, if I go back to, let's use basketball, okay, and let's say free throws, all right,
and
let's say even if you're up to the line and you're going to shoot free throws and you bomb, you know, the world doesn't come to an end, but we've got to help the system understand that, because what's happening is the autonomic nervous system is ramping up and they start having anxiety and panic attacks and or worrisome thoughts. And then their performance is definitely inhibited. And it's even harder for them to stand at that line and try to focus and make the shot. So we have to neutralize it out to where we go, my preference is that I make these shots. But even if I don't, I'm still okay.
I'm still okay.
Yeah.
Tracy, are you an athlete?
Yes. Yes.
So tell me, Tracy, in what area of expertise are you an athlete in?
Well, I played basketball in high school.
I'm going to dime you out here on the radio. Come on.
My favorite is I grew up being a dancer and a gymnast and a diver in high school. And then really later in life, I've stuck with the dancing. And today I still do the ballroom dancing, which I absolutely love. And I've taught for many years, still compete pro-am with a little bit with a couple students. And so have a lot of fun with it.
So, Tracy, may I ask you, are you good?
I'm okay.
She's good. She is good. Tracy is very, very good.
If you're looking at the pros out there, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not at that level, but I work at it. I work at it. So.
Oh my gosh. Tracy, tell me, what's new and exciting coming up with Connection Point Coaching? What's on the horizon for you?
One of the things that's new and exciting is that I am putting together an online program, and it has to do with some of what we were talking about today, is really understanding your brain, how it takes in information, how it's recorded, and if you've got some recordings in there that are not serving you, then how do you change them?
Okay.
And so that's going to be an online program that is coming out. I'll have that ready to go in June. And I did put on the website there for people that have listened to Legacy Leaders today. If you go through and sign up through that spot on my website, they will receive an additional bonus. And there'll be more details coming because that'll capture their email address and all that. And if they want to register, they'll have additional bonus. And it'll be a class really on how to use your brain more effectively and to recognize, you know, where are the blocks? What trips you up, and how do I stop myself when I start heading down that path of negative thinking or non-belief in myself, and how do I change that path and get back on the right track?
And we can look for this when?
June.
Get more specific data.
Probably around the second, third week in June. I'm still finishing a little bit of the product up, and so that's about where I'm looking at.
Okay. And I would just like to make this commitment to you. You're welcome anytime back on. We're not done with the show yet, but I just want to get this out, is that you're welcome to come back on and talk about that.
Great.
At any time.
Great, fantastic. Thank you.
You know, the theme of the show is legacy leaders, people that make a difference in our lives, in our community, and around the world. First of all, my first question to you, two-part, is what does a legacy leader look like for you? And how are you a legacy leader in our community and in our world?
Well, a legacy leader to me is somebody who has thought about what they want to leave behind. I mean, what is their, when they walk away, what do they want to have left in their wake? And, I think you really came up with that question in your work. And I just think that's such a powerful question and a great way to look at it. And I don't know that anybody had really asked it from a leadership perspective before. So I think that was really neat when you put that together and you created that, because I think one of the things that if people can step back in their leadership roles, whatever those may be, and ask, when I leave here, what am I leaving?
Yeah.
What is the picture that I'm leaving behind, and what will I have created that's going to be positive and be supportive for this organization, this system, whatever they're doing?
Family,
absolutely.
My generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my spouse, my loved ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in terms of, I think the question was my legacy.
Yeah.
You know, that to me goes back to some of the beginning question of, you know, I think my legacy is about really helping people recognize and put their power back inside themselves. I think we've given our power away to too many things. We feel powerless to do this and powerless to do that. And just really learning that's a victimized thought process.
Yeah.
And really putting that power back inside of yourself so that you can decide. You know, it's all about choices. Do I want to pursue this direction? Do I want, you know, yes, are there going to be fears? Are there going to be challenges? Will there be obstacles? Yes.
Yeah.
But am I, you know, powerful enough to embrace that and walk through the process? Yeah. you know, and really helping people own that and recognize that it's in them. Because I see so many people coming in, often by the time they get to me, they're just at that place where life has thrown them so many curveballs that they're just feeling so beat up and powerless in that moment that they're like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I can do it. And so really getting them back on that place where they feel empowered is my legacy.
Courage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a powerful one. Tracy, I always ask my guests a couple of questions. And if you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, those who are watching the video and in the studio, she's starting to laugh. I believe she knows what one of the questions is going to be, but she doesn't know what the follow-on questions are going to be. So, Tracy, if I was to ask you, and I'm sure all our listeners want to know.
Okay.
What would your theme song be if you walked into a room, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you walked into a room and they said, oh my gosh, here comes Tracy. Tracy's walking in. Get her music playing now. When they hit that play button, what would we be hearing?
It would be Let's Dance.
Let's Dance.
I think that's Jennifer Lopez, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, I'm supposed to be the young person.
I don't know.
Either way, it's a good beat and we're all dancing.
Okay.
And we're having a good time.
Okay. How about this? If you walked into a room and there was a blank canvas up there and somebody said, Tracy, I would like for you to tell me what type of colors would you want me to paint that would represent your spirit, who you are, and how you show up in this world. What kind of colors would we see on that canvas?
You would see, that's a good question, green, blue, some red in there, and some purple.
Red, blue, green, and purple. That's great. That's great. And very vibrant colors, I'd imagine, too, aren't they? Aren't they? Okay. When's your next, I want to know when your ballroom gig is going to be.
Oh, I don't know. That depends on if I can get my student to sign up for the next competition. But we're usually practicing quite several times a week. Have a great time doing that. That is definitely one of my other outlets. That's really where the name Connection Point Coaching came from. It was inspired from my dance training. And so, you know, it's definitely a part of my life and something that adds a lot of joy, and it's another passion of mine.
Okay. Something that's very close to my heart and a lot of our listeners out there and people who'll be watching the video is our returning veterans. Just listening to you for this past almost an hour now and working with you for the past going on 5 years, I believe now. You have a lot of great tools. I think you would be a great benefit to a lot of our veterans out there. Have you ever considered doing that, working with our veterans, and just based upon PTSD, based upon fear, courage, lack of courage, or courage, and some of the other emotions that are come along with that, how can you see yourself benefiting working with our veterans?
You know, that I'm absolutely open to working with veterans. That has not been my clientele. That is not typically who has come through and contacted me. What I would say, though, is because of the amount of research and the information that is out there currently on the effectiveness of these different modalities of EFT, NET, that are really making significant changes for people with PTSD. You know, one of the conferences I was at several years ago for some more training and these different modalities, there was actually a Marine officer there who had gone through a very significant trauma over there, and he had suffered from extreme PTSD, and he had gone to a coach therapist who had used these techniques with him and had really changed his life. I mean, he was able to, he said, resume a normal life, and he was actually there learning these tools now because he wanted to help other veterans. So what I would say is if there are veterans out there that are struggling and needing some help, to, you know, consider exploring working with somebody who has that background and that training in and some of these different modalities, energy modalities, because the shifts that are being created and the research that's going on about how effective it is and how quickly effective it can be are very, really powerful.
I would like to, at some point, connect you to some people that I think you'd be a great benefit to. Wounded Warriors is one of our, I've had Wounded Warriors actually here on the show, a fantastic, great, great organization. We've had people that do the suicide prevention intervention for our returning veterans as well. I'd like to talk to you a little bit before our show ends here about how you can help people out there that may have addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Anything can become an addiction. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, if I see people, it could be shopping, it can be food, it can be drugs and alcohol, it can mm-hmm. be, you mm-hmm. know, hoarding. I mean, an addictive behavior is, something, the way I help people look at it is, what are we not dealing with? Mm-hmm. it's a compulsive behavior to mask, in my mind, something else we're not really dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, what I'll find is again, using the energy techniques that I do, we can pinpoint pretty quickly, how does this create some relief for you? How does engaging, even though you consciously understand mm-hmm. this addictive pattern is not good on the high level, mm-hmm. on some level it's serving you. So how's it serving you and what are we getting for it? And let's go figure out what we really need to look at and deal with in order to stop this type of repetitive mm-hmm. or addictive behavior. So, current situation is, having a person who was struggling with starting to drink too much wine. And noticing that they were drinking more and more each night,
yeah.
and that it had become a pattern, and this was starting to concern them. And so I said, so what is the wine, what's it doing for you? And the first answer was, well, it relaxes me. And I'm like, well, so mm-hmm. why do we need to relax so much? What's going on there with the need to relax? And then but also helping her realize you've put your power outside of yourself. You've told yourself effectively that I can only relax with this alcohol. And that was a huge insight for her. I said, so we've got to take the power back and realize, the wine itself, you've given it the power. We've got to take that back. We've got to really go find out, we did identify in her situation what was going on and what the wine was masking. What was that helping her kind of keep down?
What are those aha moments like for her? What was it like for her when she realized that?
It was huge,
because
all of a sudden, because I spend, one of the things that I will do with people is spend some time teaching them, about the nature of codependency. And when we're in codependent, we can be in a codependent relationship with anything. It can be a person, it can be a job, it can be alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the nature of codependency and the choices you're making and basically what you're telling yourself there, sometimes consciously, many times non-consciously. And then how do we start talking to our brains differently about this situation and re-empowering ourselves? So one of the things that this person shared was that, they were able to really have this conversation at night, like, do I really want a glass of wine? And the answer was no, I really don't. So I was able to make the choice.
Because you just challenged that thought or what?
Well, we actually did some of the energy work and I think we mm-hmm. neutralized some of the triggers. So it was easier for her to stop and ask the question versus just compulsively going to get the glass of wine.
Okay.
There was the stop point of asking, okay, do I really want any? The answer was no. And that was a really freeing experience for her because all of a sudden she realized, oh, I do have a choice here. And a lot of times there's not the consciousness of thought and questioning associated with it. It's like, I just have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that makes us feel very weak or victimized to it or powerless. And so being able just to ask herself that question and realize, oh, I get to choose.
Yeah.
Was really powerful for her.
Yeah. Is what I'm about to do now or undertake or partake in, is this helping me or is it hurting me?
Right.
And we ask ourselves that question, to me, it brings it to the conscious and you realize this ain't doing me a doggone bit of good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And along with that, the question becomes, so if I do want it, if I'm still wanting it, what is it that it's wanting to mask? What am I trying to get away from here?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And I've gone through that.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
I totally get that and understand it. How do we get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me would be to visit my website and email me and let me know that you are, wanting to talk to me.
Your website is Tracy?
It is.
This is when you're supposed to say Jack.
Okay, check. It is connectionpointcoaching.com.
Okay.
So please get out there. If you want to ask a question or send me an email, I'll be more than happy to respond.
And you've got some really cool stuff coming out in June.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I also have out there a video blog of past videos that I've done. I call them your weekly emotional workouts. I've also just written a 10-part series on time management if people are looking for some time management tips. So,
do I hear a book in the making? What's going on?
It is in the background.
Okay. I'm working on it. I just dimed her out. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I'm not going to give you a deadline on that. I'm still working on it.
It's okay. It's all right. Anything else? Any last minute words would you like to share with the audience about Connection Point Coaching?
You know, I will sign off today with you just saying, you know, you can change your life, whatever that looks like for you. You have the power to do it. Just believe in that. You're one of my shining examples of that.
Thanks.
You know, you've just done a full, you know, 180, and you have such a passion and excitement about what you're doing, where you're going. And obviously you have so many exciting opportunities. And I think, you've done a lot of things to create that momentum in your life. And you've taken all the tools we've talked about. Mm-hmm. You've applied them. You've worked tough through different spots. And, you know, it can be done.
Thank you.
And it wasn't
much.
Easy, was it, sometimes?
No. And that was, it wasn't easy. And Tracy, I'm in your debt. I deeply appreciate it. It's been a long journey for us both, and it's not over with yet. And we have a lot of great people, a lot of great stuff
still
out there. And ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to wrap up the show. And today has been Legacy Leader Radio. We've had the awesome Tracy Cleary that's been on our show. And please visit her at www.connectionpointcoaching.com. And I highly recommend her. She's awesome. She's fantastic. She's doggone it. She's my coach, and she's the best in the world. Right? And I love you all.
Thank you, Jack.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here.
Woohoo!